A scripture reading today is from Joel chapter 1 and the first 12 verses. The Lord gave this message to Joel, son of Pethuel. Hear this, you leaders of the people. Listen to all who live in the land. In all your history, has anything like this happened before? Tell your children about it in the years to come, and let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. After the cutting locusts finished eating the crops, the swarming locusts took what was left. After them, the hopping locusts, and then the stripping locusts too. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers. All the grapes are ruined. All your sweet wine is gone. A vast army of locusts has invaded my land, a terrible army too numerous to count. Its teeth are like lion's teeth, its fangs like those of a lioness. It has destroyed my grapevines and ruined my fig trees, stripped their bark and destroyed it, leaving branches white and bare. Weep like a bride dressed in black, mourning the death of her husband, for there is no grain or wine to offer at the temple of the Lord. So the priests are in mourning, the ministers of the Lord are weeping, the fields are ruined, the land is stripped bare, the grain is destroyed, the grapes have shriveled, and the olive oil is gone. Despair, you farmers. Wail, all you vine growers. Weep because the wheat and barley, all the crops of the field are ruined. The grapes have dried up and the fig trees have withered. The pomegranate trees, palm trees, and apple trees, and all the fruit trees have dried up. And the people's joy has dried up with them. May God help us understand this word in its context, and then as Darren shares what it means to us today.
Children are dismissed to children's church. They're meeting right back out there in the hallway, right behind the big window. So go on ahead. And you know what? I forgot to mention this before. I'm going to right now. Natalie and Anissa got baptized last Sunday. You heard their testimonies? They got baptized last week. How exciting is that? That was so much fun. You have to ask them about that. That was the most memorable baptism I've ever been to. You have to ask them. We're standing on the beach in the rain, and you can hear thunder. We're listening to thunder. And it's like, all right, well, should we all walk out into the water now? If anyone sees lightning, we just run back in. That was fun. That was so much fun. Master, Master, Teacher, Teacher, Jesus, Jesus, wake up, we're all going to drown. Jesus, don't you see the water coming in the boat? Don't you feel it? Why are you sleeping? We're in the middle of this storm. The water's crashing against us, we're going down. Wake up! Don't you love us? Why would you bring us out in the middle of this storm? Do something before we die! Jesus stands up, looks at his disciples who he loves, and he says to them, "Where is your faith?" Where's your faith? Today, we begin Joel chapter 1. And in Joel chapter 1, we witness the most disastrous locust plague recorded in the scripture. This is their storm. What's your storm? Today, we place ourselves in the shoes of the people in the time of Joel. These people had been disobedient to the Lord for a long time, and the Lord had warned in Deuteronomy that plagues of locusts would be used to those who were disobedient to him. And this was his own children, his own people. And yet the locusts came. You heard the verses. The locusts swept across the land. First locust ate, and what they left behind, the next ones ate, and what they left behind, the next ones ate. Everything was gone. The trees were stripped down to bark. There was no grain, no wine left to even make sacrifices at the temple, no oil. The priests themselves are mourning because worship of God has come to a standstill. It's over. It's all over. The crops are gone. In a country that depends on their agriculture, the crops were gone. There's nothing left. Would there even be seeds for next year? Would there be a crop the following year? Would the trees recover? They were done. They were done. This was their storm. What's your storm? Sometimes when we're in storms in life, we question where God is. Sometimes in those moments, we even pass the blame back to God. Say, why would you put us in this storm? Why would you allow me to experience suffering? I've been good. I've tried my best. Why would you put me here? That's what the disciples were experiencing firsthand in Luke chapter 8. If you brought a Bible this morning, would you turn to Luke chapter 8? I'm going to use part of this story, verses 22 to 25, the very end of 25. I'm going to use this story to help explain Joel. So as you turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 22, you have to remember that in this storm, Jesus led them into it. Sometimes we forget that when we experience our own storms, Jesus led them into this storm. Just like locusts coming across your land and eating everything that's alive, you're as good as dead. It's as good as over. And one day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So it says that they got into a boat and they set out. Jesus, his disciples, some of them professional fishermen, passed down from generations of professional fishermen, and they head out on the lake. It says, as they sailed, Jesus, he fell asleep. Well, a squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. How dangerous was it? They were in great danger. The disciples went and they woke him up. And this is what they said. They said, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Where was their faith? Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, the raging waters. The storm subsided. All was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they began to ask one another, "Who is this? Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, the winds and the waves. They obey him. Who is this?" Maybe right now you're in a storm. This is what I want you to hear. The people in the time of Joel had been disobedient, so this was coming for them. And they should have known as soon as those locusts swarmed across their land, they were experiencing a plague that we haven't seen since where? Exodus. We haven't seen this since Egypt and the Pharaoh. where the locusts have come and just mowed down a nation. When Joel records this story, he describes them like an army. He talks about them like they're soldiers, like their land got invaded and they were defenseless. That's how he describes grasshoppers. He describes it like an engaged woman losing her fiancé. And that translation said a bride losing her husband. It's the same idea. It was so painful to them, it was like the death of a spouse. This was the pain they were in. This was their storm. And Joel is left there to bring the Lord's word to the people in the middle of this storm. And the people would have known. Come on, let's be honest. The people would have known exactly why this happened. They knew that God did things like this. He held people accountable for the way they lived. God had brought this storm on them. Joel calls them back to repentance, back to fasting, back to worship. And as we read further in the book of Joel, there's hope. Because when God's people return to him, he returns blessing back to his people as their relationship comes back together. And there's hope. But I tried to imagine what it would be like to lose everything. What would it be like for the locusts in my life to come destroy everything? I love the phrasing at the very end of Joel chapter 1, verse 12 that Bob read, the very end of that 12th verse. Surely the people's joy is withered away. This is what Joel is saying. Surely the people's joy is withered away. It's gone. This was their storm, and there was no reason to be joyful anymore. It was gone. And this drew me right back to Jesus and his disciples in this storm, because they knew what it was like to go through a storm with Jesus. Jesus led them into it. You think he wasn't aware? What did Jesus say in verse 22? What did he say? Let's go. One day, Jesus comes up with the idea, you know what? Let's go across the lake. This will be fun. They get in the boat. First thing Jesus does is what? Do you know what, guys? It's been a long day.
I'm just going to lay down and you guys just take the boat, okay?
Just aim across the lake. Like, we're going that way, right? Aim for that city. I'm going to lay down. Wake me when we get there. And Jesus smiles and he lays down. This is going to be fun. And Jesus lays down and goes to sleep. All of a sudden, he's awoken by what? A professional fisherman, Mr. Peter. We can only guess who's panicking, because he always speaks on behalf of the group. So you just imagine that Peter is losing his mind. Losing his mind. I don't know how deep their boat was, but if there's water swamping the boat, if he's afraid, there's water in the boat. There's water in the boat. I remember when we went fishing a couple months ago and Ryan got water in his boat. He was laughing the whole time. He wasn't afraid. Peter's afraid. He's terrified. There's water in this boat and they're going down. And his best friend, his teacher, who he's seen the power of God miraculously come through Jesus, is sleeping right there and he doesn't care. Do you hear that? He doesn't care. How do we know that Jesus doesn't care? Because Jesus isn't doing anything. If Jesus really loved his disciples, what would he do? He would have never led them into the storm. If he really loved his disciples, he would have never taken them there. That's what you might be saying in your head, but you'd be wrong. What storm have you been in? What storm are you in right now? How many times have you prayed, God, take this storm away? God, why did you lead me into this storm? Someone in your family is sick. Someone's passed away. Families are fighting with each other. You lose your job. You lose your house. You lose security, trust, faith, whatever it is. You've been in a storm, and so have I. And you pray, God, why did you lead me into this storm? And why aren't you doing anything? Because we're entitled, and we believe that God's purpose on this earth is to take good care of us because we work hard and attend church once in a while. And our God's job is to take care of us, make life good for us. We give cash in the offering sometimes. Come on, God. Why did someone in my family get sick? Come on. We put the blame on him, the dude who's sleeping in the boat. We go, why did you lead us out on this lake, and why are you sleeping? You can alter creation with the words on your lips. Stand up. Stand up and do something. I don't know what storm you're in right now. But maybe you've prayed that he would just take the storm away. What if I told you that might not be the point? What if I told you he put you in the storm? Maybe it was his idea to go across the lake. Why is Jesus asleep? How could he sleep through a storm? Because Jesus is not afraid. It doesn't scare him. It doesn't. Why doesn't it scare our Lord that he's in the midst of this storm? If there are moments away from death, why is he not afraid? Because creation bends around the words that he speaks. You hear me? You looking at me? Creation bends around the words that he speaks. He whispers, and the storm stops. Peace, be still. That's power we don't understand. But what's his question to his best friends? What's his question to his best friends? He wakes up and they're panicking, and he says to them, where is your faith? Guys, I'm right here. I've been here the whole time. I am with you in the storm. And you're panicking. You think you're going to die. You think this is going to be the end of you. Why are you panicking? I'm right here. Do you not think I can handle this storm? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Those are tough words. Because in the book of Joel, God is asking the same question. Where's your faith, people of Israel? Where did you go? I've loved you with an everlasting love, and you've abandoned me. Where did you go? So God sent the locusts. What if Jesus is asking me? What if Jesus is asking you right now in the midst of your storm? Where is your faith? I'm right here. I'm in the boat. What if Jesus didn't abandon you? What if when that person in your family got sick, or when you lost that job, or when your hope fell apart? What if he was with you right there in the boat the whole time? And you were praying, Lord, where are you? You're not here. And he's right beside you sleeping. And he goes, why are you afraid? I'm right here. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? This is the last thing I want you to hold on to. And this is what I want to send you home with. It's what the disciples learned. And it's what people in the book of Joel, I believe, are supposed to learn from God. You have your Bibles open still? Look at verse 25. This is Jesus' response to his disciples, and he says, where is your faith? It says, in fear and amazement, the disciples asked one another this question. What question did the disciples ask one another? Who is this? Who is this? Creation bends around his fingertips. Who is this guy? Who? I don't understand. Who is he? These words were written for you. These words were written for you. This is how I know. Because you've been in storms like I have. You might be in a storm right now. It might feel like this is it. Like it's all over. If God really loved me, he would have stepped in already. This storm is too far gone. You might be completely out of joy. Your joy might be withered away. What if God is trying to teach you this very lesson? Who is this? Who is he? You're in the middle of your storm in the worst moment of your life, and you're crying out to God, God, if you loved me, you would take this away. And God is saying back to you, look at who I am. I'm right here. Look at who I am. Look at me. Pay attention to who I am. But you're not hearing this. You're not learning your lesson. So you keep praying and you keep praying, begging God to take away your storm. And then you get doubts. Maybe God isn't real. Maybe God doesn't exist at all. If he was real, he would have saved us before grandma passed away. If he was real, he would help me at school when I'm being bullied. If God was real, things would still be okay. How many people, question for you, how many people have left church? Have you talked to who said, I'm never going to church again? Why? Well, because God let me down. God let our family fall apart. God let someone in my family die who was important to me. I'm never going back again. Because if God was real, he would have done something. Jesus is saying, I'm right here. I never left you. I'm in the boat with you. I never left you. But you were supposed to learn something in that storm. You were supposed to learn who he is. So as you go home today, think about this. Who is he? Is he trying to teach you that very lesson in the middle of your storm? Because if the people in Joel would learn that lesson, they would return to God with worship and repentance, and there would be hope. And when the disciples learned that lesson, who is he? He is Christ, the Lord, the God who bends creation with his lips. When they learned that, they were forever changed. And I'm here to tell you, Bridgeway, right now, that when you learn this, and as you spend your life learning this, this will change who you are. This will change every battle that you face, every challenge that you're put in. I'll never forget the day Cooper was born and he couldn't breathe. When you watch your baby and your baby can't breathe, and you're looking at this baby who can't breathe, and I have a picture on my phone. Chantel is kind of holding his hand, kind of around her finger, kind of holding his fingers. It was the very hour he was born. He couldn't breathe. Be like, God, if you loved us, wouldn't you just fix him? If you loved us, wouldn't it just be okay? Why would you let him come out so early?
that he can't even breathe. And God whispers back to us, I'm right here. Look at who I am. I'm right here in the boat. Why are you staring out the front of the boat, terrified for your life, when you just got to turn around? And Jesus is sitting there in the back of the boat. Turn around. I'm right here, Darren. I never left you. I never once left you. And when you feel that, when you feel the power of the Holy Spirit, and you know deep down within you, in the deepest places of your heart, when you know that God is with you and your baby who can't breathe, God is with me right now. Who is this? This is my Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this? This is the God who never abandons us. Hebrews chapter 13, he'll never leave you or forsake you, Deuteronomy 31. Who is this? This is our Lord. This is our Lord. Turn around. Stop panicking. He's right there with you in the back of the boat. Pay attention to who he is.
Thank you, Darren. I don't know your locust plague. I don't know your storm. But I do know your God. He's trustworthy. Will you trust him? Please rise for the benediction. Psalm 62, God has spoken plainly. I've heard it so many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. You judge all of us according to what we've done. O my people, trust him at all times. Pour out your hearts to him. Make God your refuge. Have a good week. Go in peace.